Continue in our study of healing words for hurting people. A study that was originally prepared by a pastor by the name of James Wilkins. And we're going to begin tonight, if you turn with me, to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 10. So 1 Peter 5 verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." And it's something that we want to look at tonight. We want to get an understanding that God's plan in suffering, that it's for our good. He has a plan for it. And we want to learn from the experiences of others throughout the scriptures, that we see how the Lord's plan was made good throughout all of it. And we want to understand that. We want to recognize that God can use our difficult experiences to prepare and teach us to help others if we allow Him to do so. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into lesson this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word once again, the truth it contains. We pray, Lord, that you would bless, help us to understand that you have a purpose in all things, and that you want to use it, Lord, to strengthen us so that we can minister to others. Lord, help us to gain an appreciation of that, and just help us to see your hand in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you turn with me to, first of all, to Genesis chapter 30. First person that we're going to look at, we touched on him briefly last week, but it's the life of Joseph. And we know that Joseph was kind of the favored son of Jacob, and Lord, we actually, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 37 is where we're going to begin, Genesis 37. And we see, the first time we really see Joseph, We have recorded when he was born, but this is when we see him as an individual. Genesis 37 verse 2, "These are the generation of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Now it was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood up right, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." And we see with him that he's not an evil boy by any stretch, that we see he has a problem. It's not of his own making that he's his dad's favorite, and he didn't bring that upon himself. That was the choice of his father, and we see that he suffered for that choice in many ways, because, of course, his brothers envied him because of it. And we find that he, from the beginning, that he brought unto his father their evil report, that he tattled on his brothers, and they didn't like him to start with. And then his dad favored him, made a coat of many colors that they didn't give to any of his other brothers, and they couldn't speak even peaceably unto him. And then he had these dreams. You think of it, that the Lord is giving him spiritual insight, that there's some big plan that's in store for him. He doesn't know what it is, but he said, "Well, I had this dream. I don't know what it means." And of course, they didn't take it very well. He was just excited to share it, but they didn't take it the way he did. And we see how things change so quickly. And he was sent to check on his brothers again. And we find verse 18, it says, "When they saw him afar off, even before he came near to him, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will shall see what will become of his dreams." And of course, Reuben, we know, pleaded for his life that they wouldn't do that. Had him put him in a pit, and he was hoping to deliver him later on. But then we see that the company of Ishmaelites came, and so they sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, that their blood would not be upon him. And you can just think how things have changed, how devastating it would be that he's a favored son, that he's everything's going for him, he's so excited about the future, and then his own brothers turn on him and sell him into slavery. How you can think of how he's pleading with them when he's down in the pit. Guys, this isn't funny, let me out. And they sell him as a slave, and he's probably just begging them, just please don't do this, but they're not even listening to him at all. And we see this happening, that it could have very easily just totally turned him off of God and of everything else, that he just would have given up on life. This is not fair, and I'm just going to quit. But we see that he didn't. That as it progresses in Genesis chapter 39, it says Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And so we see that he wasn't bitter. The Lord was still with him, even though he was going through difficult times, things that he didn't understand. But yet, the Lord blessed him. But then we see what happens is that he was working hard, he was doing right, he was being trustworthy, and Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he refused her. And it would have been very easy for him to give in, but he refused to do so. And he did what was right, and then he got in trouble for it. That he was ended up getting thrown in jail for it because his Potiphar's wife lied about him. And so we see that verse 19 of Genesis 39, "It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake after him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And it's something that we want to understand, first of all, that just as with Joseph, when we're in difficult times, we never want to imagine that the Lord has abandoned us. We see throughout this that even though things are just falling apart, it seems nothing's going right, the Lord is still with him. And he's helping him. He's getting little blessings along the way. And we want to understand that with all this is happening, we don't understand, we don't know exactly how long of a span of time this is. Some think it may be as much as 30 years, all these things progress. That he was in school being trained of the Lord. It was a time of preparation. That he had an uncertain future. He had no really hope or anything to cling to say, well, I know this is going to work out for the best. Because just imagine if God would have told him the whole plan from the beginning. He says, well, I'm going to allow this to happen for you to be sold into slavery, and then I'm going to allow you to be thrown in prison after that, and then I'm going to make you into a leader and work everything out. One, he probably if he would have known that all the things he would have had to go through, he probably wouldn't have wanted to go through it to start with. But then, if he did know, it would have at least made it easier. He'd say, well, I can hang on, I can endure this, because this is what's going to happen in the end. And I know that's all going to work out. But he didn't have any guarantee of that. He was just trying to do what was right, trying to be faithful, and the Lord was with him. And we see that through this time of testing that he passed the test, that he didn't get bitter, he didn't get frustrated with God, he continued to do right, even though everyone else was doing him wrong. And we understand that the Lord was the only one that knew that there was going to be a great famine that would last 7 years, that it would threaten even the existence of his chosen people. And so he had all this plan that Joseph was to be sent ahead into Egypt, that he was going to be the one who would prepare and store up all this food so that his own family would be delivered during the great famine. And there was a purpose for him being afflicted. And we want to understand that God was preparing him for a future tragedy, that he was going to be equipped to minister to other people because of it. And we want to understand that at the end, we know the story of how he became prime minister of Egypt, essentially, how his brothers came to get food. He pretended he didn't know them to just prove them if their hearts had really changed. And we see in Genesis 45, verse 8, we'll begin at verse 5, Genesis 45, verse 5. It says, and this is after he had shown himself to be Joseph to his brothers. He says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And so we see that at the end that he understood all of God's reasons. It was all part of God's plan. And he didn't know that at the time, but he knew it now. He understood it. We see also in Genesis chapter 50, of course, what happened is Jacob died, and his brothers were afraid that now that their father was dead, that Joseph was going to be cruel to them. And he said, verse 19, unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. And that's the thing, that they meant it for evil, and we know every trial and tragedy that the devil brings in our life, he means it for evil, but God means it for good. And so we can learn from that. And we want to think with Joseph that, if you want to put in this terms, when was his day of victory? When did he really succeed in life? What was kind of the turning point in his life? And really, you think of it, that it wasn't necessarily when he became the leader of Egypt. It wasn't necessarily when he was able to kind of pull these tricks on his brothers and things. That wasn't really his time of victory. You really think of it as, it must have been at some time where he's going through those really dark days, where he's just going through such struggles, where he made a decision not to give up, that he was going to stay faithful to the Lord, that he turned his life over to God, he died to himself. And it's the idea that we see in another place in Scripture, that humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time, that he chose to do that, that he had confidence in God, he had faith in him, that the Lord would work everything out, and the Lord did. And the Lord blessed his life because of that. So we see that as one example. Another example, this is actually related by Pastor Wilkins himself. I just wanted to read it to you. It says that she sat in the funeral home listening to the minister eulogize her dead husband. There was not only pain in her aching heart, but a stabbing pain in her recently broken collarbone and shoulder. Her mind raced back to 1 year to that very day when her heroic son Wayne was killed in an automobile accident. He had spent 3 years overseas in the U.S. Marine Corps during World War II, only to be killed in a car wreck when he returned home. Now in the same funeral home, she was listening to the minister as he tried to comfort her family. Elsie Wilkins' thoughts were upon her 10 remaining children who were all gathered together in the front of the room. There was Alfred, her oldest, who had had his own wife and family. They lived in Oklahoma. Alfred was a good Christian man. Next to him was Joe, who seemed very uncomfortable in his body cast. He was a brave, courageous man who had been wounded in 2 different battles in the recent war. Her third surviving son, Clinton, had learned bad habits in the service. Although a good son, he drank and ran around on the weekends. Elsie Fayard, oldest of 2 daughters, was a good girl nearing adulthood. Jim lived in his own world, while Jackie loved to fight. Sammy, Margaret, Johnny, and the youngest Charlie, age 7, were all good kids, but none of them were saved or attended church. The services dragged on, but there was nothing, humanly speaking, in which she could find comfort and hope. Mrs. Wilkins had only an 8th grade education, was in poor health. She had seen dark days before, but nothing like this. In her heart, she kept crying, "Oh Lord, what am I going to do?" Thinking about the uncertain future, she could not see anything but the possibility of poverty, kids fussing, problems with school officials, problems with the law, problems paying the bills, and problems just keeping the family together. The way seemed truly dark to her. Yet God has a special provision for single parents. There are many places in Scripture where God speaks of His love and care for the fatherless and widows. Deuteronomy 10, 17, and 18, and Psalm 68, verse 5. He makes a way and gives special provisions to those helpless women who rely upon Him. From this point on, Mrs. Elsie Wilkins devoted herself entirely to God and to the raising of her children. Pastor Wilkins remembers her singing an old hymn, "Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be all the day long. Farther along, we will understand why." The darkest of nights began to turn to day, and Mrs. Wilkins, along with all the younger children, were in church every time the doors were open. There was no quarreling, fussing, or fighting as God began to bless that little old widow woman's prayers and faith. Jim Wilkins, who did this study, he was the first of the children to be saved, and over the next 5 years, every one of the remaining 10 kids became devoted, practicing Christians. And from the 10 children came 5 fundamental preachers who worked to win souls, whether from the pulpit or from house to house. Others became faithful teachers, singers, and servants of God in local churches. None were ever expelled from school, and all were happily married, with 3 of the oldest having celebrated their golden wedding anniversaries. Elsie Mae Wilkins passed safely through a dark night of testing and lived many years surrounded by her children, grandchildren, and relatives who loved her as if she was their own mother. She enjoyed many years of sunshine and joy. Her constant message was, "God does not love one widow woman more than He does another. Since He delivered me, then take courage, He will deliver you also." And the author says, Elsie Wilkins joined David as he walked down the road to victory. She went home to join her husband and son with the assurance that all 11 children would soon join them. And on her dying lips, as she left this world, she said, "Praise ye the Lord." And so we see with her testimony as well that she went through difficult times, but it was the Lord used it. The Lord saw her through, and it was for the best. It brought them to thinking about spiritual things, made them make decisions to serve the Lord, and her family was blessed because of that. And a third example we want to see is the veteran missionary. And this is a missionary who had served many years faithfully, but yet he was deserted at the end of his life, and in many ways he wanted to die. And he had suffered so much, and now everyone had abandoned him. And the one we're speaking of is the Apostle Paul. And if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." That we don't know what it was exactly in Asia that happened that would put him in this situation. We know he suffered many things. He had different health problems. He was beaten many times, shipwrecked and stoned and imprisoned. But whatever this happened, it was a hard thing for him. But yet we see with this passage that he's actually using this as an explanation of the joy and the rejoicing and the comfort that we can have in the Lord Jesus. We see beginning in verse 3 of this same chapter, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation." And so we see with this that Paul, even though he went through such a difficult situation, that after it was done, that he's rejoicing, he's praising God for the experience. That we see that idea we have in verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And we go through tribulation and we want to understand why, and sometimes we realize that we'll understand it better by and by, that we don't understand it in this life. But sometimes we realize that, if nothing else, God's purpose for it is that He wants us to go through it, and He wants us to be comforted through that tribulation. So then when someone else that we know of, whoever we have contact with, goes through the same thing, then we're equipped to comfort them, that we're able to minister to them as God ministered to us. And we want to think of that, of how that works. You could imagine some... Say, for instance, if someone was to get cancer, and you think, well, why would I get cancer? Why, I've been a good person, why would this happen to me? But it may just be that the Lord has in mind some person that has cancer as well, that's not saved, or doesn't have the Lord, doesn't have any comfort, that maybe they'll end up in the hospital bed next to you, and they'll... You're there for a purpose, to win that person to them, to show them, well, I have comfort from the Lord, and to share that with them so that they can be comforted, they can be strengthened. That's sometimes what happens, that the Lord brings us through some difficult trial, and we don't understand it for maybe even 10, 20 years, but then all of a sudden, there'll be someone that the Lord brings into our life that is going through the same thing that we went through, and that we can step up and say, well, this is what I need to do. This is how I can help you. And it was very interesting. We at the church in Montrose there, we began a single mother's ministry, and trying to reach out to different ones that we knew in the community, trying to help them and encourage them. And we had this elderly lady in our church, a wonderful woman, and she was a piano player, and she's always so sweet and so faithful and everything. And she wanted to help out with the single mother's ministry, and she wrote a testimony to encourage these people. And you got to read it, and you found out that she'd been a single mom at one time too, that she'd had a child out of wedlock, and yet the Lord brought her husband into her life, and she got saved, and God turned her life totally around, and it was something that we didn't even know that story, but that was the thing, that the Lord had saved her, had changed her life, and it was something now that she could minister to these other people because of what she went through so many years before. And so that's what we want to realize, that God is perhaps using a trial because He wants to prepare us for service. The sad thing is sometimes something happens and it hurts us, and we actually tend to withdraw from service because we don't want to get hurt anymore. But we realize, well, God's given this to us because He wants to give us a greater opportunity to serve. We can't really empathize with someone that well if we haven't gone through it ourselves. I know I was spending some time with Marvin yesterday, and of course he's from the Philippines, and they had the floods over there, and we found out that that his family made it through okay, but some of his neighbors, their houses were destroyed, and one of his childhood friends was killed during the flooding. And it's something that I know for myself, I haven't lost many close friends, so understanding that is and trying to comfort him is not necessarily as easy. But then in some ways, I just thought of you, Jerry, and Ann with your niece, how she's over there, and she went through the same thing of how it can be a source, well, that you understand a whole lot more of what he's going through than I would. And so it's always how the Lord can use that, different experiences, different things that we don't think much about it. We don't think of the purpose behind it. But when it happens, and if we're attuned to the Lord, then it all comes clear. It says, oh, this is why I went through all of this. It's for this person. And it can be such a help to us in that way. So we want to understand that. And we see that verse that we read at the beginning where it speaks of the God of all grace who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after He have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That He is the God of all grace. And that whatever grace we need, He has it available for us. Grace to help in time of need. His grace is always sufficient and is abounding unto us. That He provided grace for Daniel when he was in the lion's den. He provided grace for Paul and Silas when they were in jail. He provided grace for Moses and the Israelites at the Red Sea and during the wilderness, time in the wilderness. There's so much that He did, that He gives grace in every situation, to every generation, for every man, since the days of Adam. And that He has enough grace that there is never a shortage of it. There's never He's going to run out of it, or say, well, I'll give you a little bit now and then I'll have to give you more later because I got to let the well kind of build up a bit more, or something like that. That it's abundant. That He wants to help us through. We know that the things we suffer are common to man. God is faithful, that He will always bring a way to escape for us. And we see from that verse, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The idea of to make you perfect is to bring you to maturity, to make you not as a child that can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that you're strong in the Lord. That He establishes you, that He gives you a good foundation to your life, that when the devil tries to assail you, that you're not knocked off your footing, but that you stand firm. That He strengthens you, that you have greater confidence in life, that you're able to endure hard things for the Lord, and that He settles you, that it just it's kind of the thought that sometimes we get shook up in life, but it's kind of the thing that he's settling us, that he's making us firmer, making us stronger, and putting us where He wants us to be. And He wants to use the trials and affliction in life to teach us how to overcome, how to be a champion. And we realize that there may be dark days in our life, but the Lord will bring a sunrise. He'll bring a day when it dawns, when we see God's plan and purpose and all of it, when we see everything about it that He had in store. And we realize that with all the troubles that come, that those who don't know the Lord, that what happens, it drives them to drink, it drives them to insanity, it drives them to suicide, so many things. But yet, as believers, the trouble should draw us to the heart of God, draw Him closer to Him, and we look to Him for help and healing because we know that He's the only source of it, and that we can look to Him, and that we can have victory in these things, that these hurts can be turned into helps if we allow God to do that in His life, that He wants to use them to enable us to help others, that it makes such a difference. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would learn from these difficult experiences that we have, even though we don't understand them at the time, and we may not understand them till we get to heaven, but we'll realize that they are for a purpose and that they will all work out for good in the end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your Word and its principles. We just pray that You would help us to realize this, to understand this, that You have a hand in all things, Lord, that You're trying to prepare us for some greater ministry that we don't fully understand, Lord, but it is part of Your plan for our lives. We just pray You would help us to trust You even through the dark times, and just trust that You will use it for Your glory, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you'd turn with me to Psalm 139. Hymn 139, sorry. Yeah, hymn 139.